Blog Talk Radio.
Be done, and let the light shine.
Well, 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 my brothers and sisters, we're back. Thank Yah Almighty. Yes, indeed, and we're back again for another episode. I thank the Most High for the opportunity, yes, indeed, to be back with you here again, speaking these very precious words that the Most High has granted me. We're back again for another episode of Hidden Gospel Reveal, and I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters. Thank the Most High that we're back again. I thank the Most High that we're back again. I can speak to you these very precious words that the Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me, that I have for Him some very, very important, I said very, very important things for Him to do. And He told me that because of what I must do, He told me that surely I would accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing for Him that which He has asked of me, I would have His protection and His guidance. And for that, yes, indeed, for that, my brothers and sisters, I am utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He's told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence. And yes, if they could, to destroy. But for salvation's sake, my brothers and sisters, for the hope of men being made worthy unto the Most High, vessels prepared to help in the establishment of an eternal and righteous kingdom of justice, the Most High has promised a great day of restoration. Yes, I said a great day, my brothers and sisters, of restoration, remembrance, and even restitution concerning all things. Yes, my brothers and sisters, in awareness and reverence for all things the Most High has spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since world began. And what that means, my brothers and sisters, is this. Since the scriptures declare the Messiah is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, it means, my brothers and sisters, since the scriptures say the word, even the word of life and peace, life, light, and peace is from the beginning, it means, my brothers and sisters, that no other standard but that which Yah has declared from the beginning. In remembrance of all that He has declared from the beginning, no other standard but that which is pure and perfect. After that standard, my brothers and sisters, has ever been worthy. I said, has ever been worthy unto life and peace. I asked a question tonight. O Israel, who's compelled you to spend your strength for naught? A lot of scripture speaks about this. Context of it is in Isaiah 52, Isaiah 49, Isaiah 50. But many, because of misinterpretation, misteaching regarding to certain scriptures, I say scripture particularly in Isaiah, well, how about scriptures in Ephesians? Because the scripture is misinterpreted in the book of Ephesians, men have had no real context of all these scriptures that I will speak to you about that are still in eternal stature. I'd like to read them to you. A lot to talk about tonight, my brothers and sisters, because it needs to be said, these things need to be set in order. When I say, O Israel, why have you spent your strength for naught? After vanities, my brothers and sisters, after a multitude of contentious designs and desires, allegiances, which can never bring peace. Why? Think about it. Most High told his people to love him. Him, his ways, with all their minds, hearts, souls, and might. Love your neighbor as yourself. I didn't say create competitive, obtuse, adverse designs. Purity and completion offers one choice. And if all men had been true to that one choice, the competition, the warfare, the ruthless, the treacherous ambitions of men would not have been to the destruction of so many souls. Is it because of the false rule of so many? I said the false rule of so many. So many have been grossly misled. Scripture says the gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost. Well, brothers and sisters, a lot of lost focus out here then. But the gospel is the word of the kingdom of Yah, true unto the mind, precepts, and purpose of the Most High alone. I would have you to consider, do you really believe 45,000 denominations are declaring that pure and perfect will? Do you really believe that after diverse national, social, cultural, pseudo-religious constructs across 280 nations, that all the rulers and kings are preaching true? To what indeed is a sovereign righteousness, the sovereign rule, the sovereign expectation of the one King of Kings? Most High told me if I could believe that all these contradictions you see among men, all the debate and doubt, confusion, contentions, competition, then, as a result of not having a standard, and men being left to their own ruthless ambitions, if I can believe that that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He told me I cannot be a disciple unto him. Many, my brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit teaches us to be much wiser than this. I remember looking at all these contradictions long ago, and it made absolutely no sense to me. And I tried hard to try to make sense of it. And I'm a petition. For a greater sense of merciful absolution. The grace and the gift of discretion among the people. And every time I tried to make sense of some of these insane ideas, I said, Father, they believe, you know, I knew the things, a lot of things I was hearing didn't make any sense, but I said, Father, they believe this because they believe this. And that didn't make any sense. And they believe that because they believe that, and that didn't make any sense. Couldn't make any sense out of it. In fact, I saw a little excuse. Men to believe a lot of the insanities they believe, if they had reverence and love for Yah, and if they in fact they had known him and heard his voice. So much so, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you that I couldn't make any sense out of it. I wound up hitting my head against a brick wall. I bore the scar that came as a result of that on my forehead for some time. After bumping my head in the wall, hit my face so hard against a brick wall that a tooth actually came through my jaw. Couldn't make any sense of it, my brothers and sisters. I know the Most High doesn't have all these contradictions in his righteousness. None of these contradictions exist in his wisdom. I knew it. Most I finally told him, they don't do that again. You don't need that. He told me if all this, these differences, intentions, debates and doubts, differences of belief, ever could make any sense to me. He told me, again, the same thing. I couldn't be a child of his. He gives his children more sense than that. But brothers and sisters, those the Most High truly calls to himself know that he is by no means double-minded. He is by no means lacking in discretion or discernment. And knows that discerning what is necessary to bring forth the peace he intends, by no means does he compromise his will. Man must discern what the acceptable will of Yah is. But there's a scripture in the book of Ephesians that many have entirely taken out of context. And because they have been taught to take these things out of context so as not to discern the wickedness of their leaders, this verse, my brothers and sisters, has been done. The way people have taught this verse has been a serious detriment. A serious detriment against the salvation of many. The verse I'm speaking of is Ephesians 2 and 8 through 9. It says, by grace are you saved through faith. Well, the scriptures tell us in the book of Hebrews, and in the book of particular of Romans. One scripture in Hebrews says we must hearken to Yah lest we fall from his grace. Understand that means that we fall from his favor even to hear him if we refuse to hearken to him or if we prefer the irrationalities of another. Book of Romans in the 10th chapter, the other scripture I'm talking about is in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Romans 10, by the way, speaks in this wise. Faith comes by hearing a word from Yah, because not all have heard the preaching of the gospel. Many have the law, but don't seek it by faith. In other words, not after divine direction. And knowing not the righteousness of Yah, they seek to establish their own righteousness, which are snares to the many, can even cause the many call upon the name of the Most High, but never having heard his testimony, calling upon his name in vain. People say, how can we call upon him when we have not heard? Again, the scripture says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a word from Yah. How about from Yah himself? The leaders don't teach it, my brothers and sisters. You must seek to hear from the Most High himself concerning the majesty, the honor that is due, reverence that is due to his word. The verse that I'm speaking of said, by grace are you saved through faith. In other words, the favor of Yah, that you have an opportunity to be saved, opportunity even to be prepared and made worthy unto the kingdom of Yah. Through faith, faith in what the Most High revealed. It means you have to hear from him to begin with. And that is not of yourselves. It's the gift of Yah. In other words, discerning the truth is not after the power of a carnal mind. Even the fact, think about it, when Messiah spoke to Cephas, he called him Peter. Wasn't really his name, the King James Version. There's another thing Rome did, the sanctionist ideals. Who do you say that I am? Messiah. To the Messiah occur the one who was called the Curdean that day. The apostle Cephas actually said, I say you are the Curdean, the righteous one, the son of the living Yah. I know I didn't use the Greek term. Well, and Messiah's response was, blessed are you, Shimon bar Yonah. You did not receive this of yourselves, from your Father which is in heaven. Well, I want you to consider, when the scripture says that faith then, my brothers and sisters, knowing the will of Yah, discerning the will of Yah, revering and learning to love the will of Yah, discerning the magnificent reason that is in the word, thoughts, ideals, purpose, instructions of Yah. That, my brothers and sisters, it is a gift from Yah, not of works, that salvation, that grace, that favor, that faith is not after the works, not after the conceits, not after the designs, not after the workmanship of men, lest any man should boast. Did you hear me? What the scripture really means? And that means being prepared unto salvation, prepared unto preservation, prepared to be counted worthy unto the kingdom of Yah. It's an asset rather than a detriment. It's a gift of Yah. It's not after the conceits of men, not after what appeals the fleshly mind and heart. It's after what Yah, my brothers and sisters, has declared and foreordained even from the beginning. For say we are his workmanship. We must become his workmanship. We must allow him to raise our conscience, to mold us and shape us, form us according to his initial purpose. We're his workmanship, created in the courtesy, the righteous one, Yeshua, the one who will judge all mankind, according to all spoken by all the prophets since the world began. We spoke about that last night, Acts 3:18-23. Unto good works, whole works, complete works, pure works. How about the pure thoughts and ideals and love that will bring us to bear according to what Yah has expected and purposed man for? But what does the scripture say in Psalms 24? Who shall ascend to the hills of the Most High? Who shall stand in his holy place? But he who has clean hands and a pure heart? Clean works, my brothers and sisters. Clean, pure deeds. After a pure heart, conviction, and understanding. That has not lifted up his soul unto vanity. In other words, not seeking thought to exalt himself or even count himself worthy after the vanities of men, but who receives his righteousness. I said, receives his righteousness, his sense of justice, his sense of what is worthy and acceptable from the Holy One of his salvation. My brothers and sisters, does that sound in any way like man finds salvation after the mindlessness, the lack of discipline that seems right after what? 45,000 denominations in the world today? 280 nations? Men, rather than reverent unto the one Most High, loving him with all the mind, heart, soul, and might. Men have loved the perversion, my brothers and sisters. How else do you get 45,000 denominations with people having allegiances to so many different? 280 nations. Is that the love of Yah? Or is the love of many misrepresentations? A multitude of misrepresentations, my brothers and sisters, is not true. It's not true to divine reputation. It must be understood that there's a reason why the scriptures tell us in the book of Yaakov. It says, the double-minded man, let him not think he receive anything from Yah. You realize just simply to be indiscriminate is to be unstable and unworthy of reward. Indeed, the scriptures tell us well that we must discern what the acceptable will of Yah is. We must put upon ourselves the whole armor of Yah that we be now be counted stable, true unto the Most High, to be confirmed. Or dare men think that anyone would receive a seal of approval? Because the designs and expectations of another seem more worthy. My brothers and sisters, it is he, think about it this way, it is he who will give the reward that you must please. Salvation, my brothers and sisters, is not after standards, seeming wise and appropriate unto men. Various nations have established, or let's just say, refused to be true to divine righteousness, to all that is divine righteousness. That's why you see so many divisions. They sought to establish their own righteousness and dared to tell people that these ideals were sufficient. Isaiah, in the 28th chapter, says, "It's going to be a terror and a vexation for many to understand the report, for the cloth is too short. Warp is weak, insufficient for a garment, too short for a man to wrap himself up in it." In other words, my brothers and sisters, those who trust in such inconsistent doctrines shall be ashamed. Doctrine is oftentimes related to the Hebrew word for it, makshaba. It relates how all things and precepts of the Holy Word reinforce every other word. Scripture talks about, my brothers and sisters, that men's arguments then, perceptions, ideals, not being consistent, easily, my brothers and sisters, unravel, simply because they've not been true to the golden thread or master rule upon which all that would be firm must be established. It says we are, must be his workmanship, created unto in Yahshua, Kurdi, unto good works, whole works, wholly acceptable unto Yah. Even according to the truth of the gospel, the fullness of the sure message, pure and perfect message, that declares the reign of Yah, which Yah has foreordained, before ordained, that we should walk in them. In his ways, his conceits, his thoughts, his commands, his purpose. He said, "Wherefore remember that ye being time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision," that means uncovenanted, "by them which call circumcision, covenanted, in the flesh made by hands." In other words, my brothers and sisters, the truth of the matter is there is a spiritual bringing of men unto what's acceptable before Yah. And it's not after the mere work of men or even the words of men or the declarations of men or any so-called symbol that men might exalt. It is after what Yah himself has placed upon the mind and heart. And speaking of Gentiles, say, "At that time ye being without Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise." He said you had no hope without Yah and in the world. But now Yeshua, ye who sometimes were far off, made nigh by the blood of Messiah. Messiah gave his very life, my brothers and sisters. Ultimately, my brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, that men might receive the Holy Spirit. That men might recognize the shame of those who did not recognize the truth, that they might know to be converted. Blessed are those, my brothers and sisters, who were then in seeking beyond the rulers. And remember, Rome killed off all the priests of Israel some few decades before the birth of Messiah and set up a priesthood after Roman ideals, a priesthood that said they had no king but Caesar. Were they true unto the Most High, my brothers and sisters? That priesthood, hypocritical after the ideals of Rome, needed to be exposed, recognized, and humiliated in their unrighteousness and hypocrisy. And my brothers and sisters, in seeking beyond all the varied rulers of this world, we find one peace, that both Jew and Gentile, recognizing the unrighteousness of all their rulers. Hey, if Israel's rulers have become hypocritical after Rome and Messiah said go forth and convert the nations, it means neither Jew nor Gentile had exceeded the unrighteousness of a beguiled world. It's time for men to understand that a whole world has been in bondage, my brothers and sisters, and men are in bondage till they discern the truth, that the world would not speak. Men are in bondage while they are subject to rulers. Will not teach you the whole truth of Yah that you might indeed be free. Men are in bondage, my brothers and sisters, when they are compelled even to seek refuge in ignorance, in confusion, in hypocrisy, in misrepresentation. Men are in bondage, my brothers and sisters, when they are subject to institutions that will never tell you the whole truth to set you free. Men are in bondage under a pseudo sense of freedom across all the nations, my brothers and sisters, because guess what? Under just about every single system on this earth, political, social, national, cultural, and religious, men have been made to feel that they were somehow free after the constraints of their various kings, blind to the greater righteousness that Yah would reveal till the Most High himself teaches you how to see beyond the constraints of how men have taken the word. Take the word, even the scriptures themselves, and taught men to comply with the miscreant perceptions of men. Understand, my brothers and sisters, if you're not under the law of the Most High, whose law are you under? If you feel that you have to bring forth no works acceptable unto Yah, who do you serve in your deviation, ignorance, and deception? Scripture says, let not the double-minded man think he'll receive anything of what is divine reward. I'm telling you, you really need to look really close to Ephesians 2:8 in the context of Messiah being peace. And the only way you can be our peace is you can't be double-minded, can't be indiscriminate, can't swear an oath into his name after all the misallegiances of the world. The book of Jacob says the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, hey, your patience and faith in the Most High must bring forth a perfect work. I did not say every man vacillating. I didn't say every man, my brothers and sisters, changeable with each passing day. Scripture says the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The double-minded man, let him not think he receive anything from Yah. Let him not think he receive the divine reward. Do you think men will be counted worthy unto the Most High for their vacillation, the indiscriminate thinking, refusing to accept reason unto an absolute? I think man, my brothers and sisters, needs to wake up and realize that the Most High does not give the gift of his spirit, that men have faith in him to vacillate against right reasoning and his command. Most High told me, if you know what's said and don't know why it's said, you missed the point, you sin. Well, sound like a meme with 45,000 denominations, a whole lot of folks out here reading the words. But because they missed the point, you see all these contentions dividing these people. How precious then, my brothers and sisters, is the testimony that declares what indeed is the acceptable will of Yah, that prepares men for the coming of the Son of Man, who will reprove all the rulers and kings of the nations. He said, your rights must exceed that of your leaders, else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah, meaning the ways of the nations. Since all these nations are terminal institutions, temporal, must be exposed that Yah himself received the glory. No more misrepresentations. How is it that men have believed that a multitude of temporal institutions which must be exposed and overthrown, that Yah received the glory, that Yah received the praise, and that Yah is recognized as sovereign over the world that he has made? Knowing that these kingdoms must be exceeded, must be proven foolish, deceitful, yes, and even foolish enough to deceive themselves. That reverence for Yah be sure. How is it men have believed that temporal institutions could offer you the gift of eternal life? My brothers and sisters, it is the king who comes himself that will decide who is worthy to be counted a servant of Yah and who is not. And it won't be according to any of the partial standards, any of the polluted standards that have seemed wise to men. I can only tell you that the scriptures tell us again, and I'll repeat it, that what is soon to come now, in the restitution and restoration of all things, declare absolutely what is the will of Yah. In the time of judgment that will bring salvation, because it brings discretion the world has not had. This will be the most important issue. Yes, my brothers and sisters, one of the most important events in the course of all human history. That men should at last know how to work together for the good in a day of great restoration, wherein the righteous requirement of Yah is revealed unto what is indeed worthy unto his reward. I want you to think about something, my brothers and sisters. Scripture says Messiah will come to give each man as his works. Did you hear me? To give each man as his work shall be. Read Revelation 22. I understand the scriptures, my brothers and sisters, that are also in the book of Matthew. How about 16:27? It says he'll reward each man as his work shall be. Shall man's designs and desires be double-minded, as if he could serve both Yah and man, and expect for this to receive a divine reward, as if he were confirmed faithful? I think men need to think again. I want you to consider some things. Priests teaching partiality in the law have robbed both Yah and even all nations. Indeed, it's a service called to the Most High. Should it be a theme of brothers and sisters that preach is part of his will or seeks to discern all? One who is called, a servant who is called to preach the gospel, my brothers and sisters, does he comfort men to believe that worthy unto divine reward are the designs, the works, the conceits declared by another? I want you to think about it. Does any institution, my brothers and sisters, that will compel people not to seek the forms of what the saints of old know is worthy? Is it worthy to be counted participant with the saints? They who comfort the people in vain, my brothers and sisters, tell them that what they have is viable when at the end of the day, because of the partialities and contentions resulting of that partiality. They will comfort the people to tell them that what they have in their partiality is viable, decimating the strength of the people, that all blindly remain in bondage to them who slay them in a devil's trap. Brothers and sisters, shall we consider is there anything else but robbers? Consider what I'm saying to you. Scripture in Isaiah in the 59th chapter says, your iniquities have hid good things from you. It means that man, using the resources of the Most High, everyone according to his own desires, rather than seeking what is mutually beneficent unto the praise of Yah, has caused the Most High to grow quite vexed at how men have taken his resources and turned the goodness that the Most High would give after so many directions that they don't give praise and glory unto him. But my brothers and sisters, men using all their energies and their strength to praise the misconceits of another. Shall saints, my brothers and sisters, people called in the Most High remain competitive once against another after their own allegiances, even when the saviors come. These competitions among the churches, among the pastors, among the rulers, and among the nations, everyone seeking to defend his own concept of life, liberty, and peace. Are these competitions wrought of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters? Are men being duped after selfish ambitions and their own orientations? Hey, stop, my brothers and sisters. Consider there's nothing more righteous than what they see in their flesh. Never having seen anything more when they accept these standards as if they were complete under Yah. Scripture says salvation by faith. What about after a revelation of a righteousness the world has not seen? I want you to say, think about this. Not the righteousness of Yah, nor is it deep love and concern for his will that we see this thing that is called international law complicit with the designs of everyone after his own undisciplined heart. So I say it's time that we see the destruction, what the Bible calls this city of confusion, this mad world, a ruthless competition among the nations, refusing to revere the will of one, that at last men shall know how to cooperate for the cause as the mutual good, and at last peace and agreement between Yah and men. And I want you to understand, I said city of confusion, but I want you to understand a city in the ancient mind, it has the connotation of a social order. But I got news for you. There is scripture that directly talks about a particular city somewhere on the globe. And because of what occurs at that city, a world should begin to know what it is to revere Yah himself. Your pastors haven't told you about Isaiah 25 concerning that city. Isaiah 24:10 through 16 concerning that city. Numbers 24:14 through 17 through 19 concerning that city. Zephaniah 3rd chapter, first 5 verses concerning that city. Hosea 11:5-12 concerning that city. Revelation 16:12-21 concerning that city. Isaiah 66, particularly around the 6th to the 15th verse concerning that city. I would ask my brothers and sisters, why they didn't tell you about that city as it's related in Isaiah 15 through 16 chapter? My brothers and sisters, why does the leaders not tell you that a city, a nation, a people that call upon the name of the Most High, but not in truth nor in righteousness? They call upon the name of the Most High, but after the doctrines of all the various nations are only contention and warfare. Competition, my brothers and sisters, rather than mutual love of Yah. And my brothers and sisters, the Most High told me that the greatest gift he can give is a law by which his people might cooperate. How about one absolute standard after which, my brothers and sisters, men might be true and made true unto Yah himself? I would have you to consider, my brothers and sisters, yes indeed, I would have you consider, man not discern the way of peace. Think about it. Does every nation know what is peace, meant to be peace across the globe? Does every denomination declare what is meant to be, from the beginning, peace to the whole world? Sounds to me, my brothers and sisters, there's been a whole lot of dereliction of duty and compromise. Because 45,000 denominations will never be true to the perfect will of the one, and certainly are not true to what the Most High declared from the beginning. The multitude of these contentions and man's falling away from what the Most High declared from the beginning can never be the healer. who will understand it, my brothers and sisters, that man contending against the Spirit of the Most High. Think about it. Say, why did the nations rage and the people imagine vain things? Because they've taken counsel against the Most High and against His anointed. Oh, yes, not only His anointed, but also against the anointing that would bring to remembrance all things, that men might discern what is indeed the foundation of all things, what the Most High from the beginning declare worthy. That unless men come to comprehend what that is, they are not found worthy, certainly not of preservation. Most High intends to remove every obstacle, my brothers and sisters, against men discerning His perfect will. So, the scripture says, why do the nations rage? The people imagine vain things. Why is there so much insane competition and contention among the nations? Because men have warred against the revelation of a divine absolute. But man not discerning the way of peace for the mutual good, then, my brothers and sisters, believing that he has refuge, seeking the favor of the nation, the favor of the rulers, have only spent their strength after all manner of futility. And if I told you the truth about it, my brothers and sisters, most people would not even hardly be prepared to accept it. Scriptures talk in Isaiah 52, for instance, about how Most High said, what have we here that my people have spent their strength for naught, have sold themselves. Get my point. One is a servant of another in that he sells himself and his strength, his abilities, unto the service of another. What does the scripture say in Isaiah 52? For thus says the Most High, you have sold yourselves, you made yourselves servants of another, only for nothing. And you should be redeemed, however. But it won't be about money. How about my brothers and sisters? I want you to understand something. The Most High has planned and has declared what will be the redemption of His people. What will make them worthy unto Him and my brothers and sisters? It's not according to what seems highly esteemed and precious before men, but what is precious before Yah. The Most High told me directly, the words that I'm speaking to you now are very precious, rare, but they're only for the most humble soul. My brothers and sisters, who is the soul who would seek to hear and discern the preciousness of a word the whole world in its fallen state of consciousness, not discern the righteousness of Yah, is prone at first to reject? 52:4, for thus said the Most High, my people went down aforetime into Egypt. In other words, they served after the ways of Egypt to sojourn there. And the Syrian only oppressed them without cause. He said, now therefore, what have I here, said the Most High, that my people is taken away, sold into someone's bondage, serving after the ways of another for nothing. He said, they that rule over them make them to howl or to function so unreasonably and oppress them, my brothers and sisters, leaving them indiscriminate without instruction. He said, therefore my name is continually every day disrespected, blasphemed. Most High says, in order to redeem His people, said, therefore my people shall know my name. And they shall know in that day that I am He that doth speak. Behold, it is I. And how beautiful over all the false testimony and doctrines and miscreant standards and ideals of all the nations is the feat, the sovereignty of Him who will bring indeed good tidings. Indeed, what is the acceptable word of Yah? That will publish therefore what is peace between Yah and men, peace with Yah, agreement with Yah among all that would be called by His name. That would bring good tidings of good, acceptability before Yah, righteousness before Yah. That will publish then, my brothers and sisters, the way of salvation. I want you to hear me when I say the way of salvation. The scripture talks about salvation. It talks about, some say, hell. The word Sheol means grave, my brothers and sisters. Something not worthy, many times, something that might be kind of not kind of worthy of a resurrection. I want you to consider also the word hell relates to the word sometimes Gehenna, the valley of the sons of Hinnom, what some call might call Gehenna fire. Now, brothers and sisters, that which was considered not worthy, useless, was ready for the flame. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, being saved, made whole, worthy to be preserved, is not after the constructs and designs of men, or dare men say that walking after the designs and pretenses of another is worthy unto preservation. My brothers and sisters, all such standards that would tell men that they are worthy unto preservation after the ideals of another are deception. It is because men have been duped by misrepresentative, if you will, duplications. Not true to the original. A whole world, my brothers and sisters, is deceived to trust in those who by no means declare fullness or even prepare men for the day when the fullness of the truth will be expected in the hearts of men, that they might be worthy unto salvation. It's supposed to be records of all that is the righteousness of Yah, vessels unto the preservation of the knowledge of His will. Now, brothers and sisters, what do you do with a vessel that's supposed to preserve something that constantly leaks? Oh, my brothers and sisters, a vessel which should have a top on it to keep out the corruption that only allows every man of pollution in. Is that a vessel worthy of preserving, my brothers and sisters? What about an unclean vessel that won't be washed? Is it worthy of preservation? I want you to think about it. Man that is in the way of peace, mutual good, has spent his strength after all manner of futility. The greatest Yah gift that Yah gives then is a law by which men may cooperate rather than continually compete. A law by which men may at last love and trust. The iniquities, my brothers and sisters, of having so many diverse allegiances have blinded the mind not to discern the good that would come if man discern the righteousness of the one Yah. And in man discerning the righteousness of the one Yah, which now, for so long, being scattered among the Gentiles, has left men not to even consider the fact that there has been amongst the people so much intrusion. Scattered among the nations, believing that what men were taught was somehow holy. Flattered to believe that men's trust was holy after some, 45,000 different denominations compromised and believed they all deserved to be under one title? Have men not discerned, my brothers and sisters, there's been a great intrusion of deception in the midst that by no means is true to what is righteous and holy? Think about it, my brothers and sisters, but everybody under the futility of competitive capitalist designs has felt that they could do well to behold their own definitions of freedom and liberty. According to what seems wise to the men, what it seems wise after the various rulers, under every manner of differing government imaginable, men have thought that they had freedom and liberty. But my brothers and sisters, have they discerned the righteousness that would liberate them to discern beyond their rulers, be worthy unto the kingdom of Yah? And if not, my brothers and sisters, every man is subject to a snare. It is the knowledge of Yah in terms of what pleases Him that gathers His reward. It allows man free access unto His courts. It is the greater exceeding knowledge of Yah that the world will not teach, that rulers don't teach, keep people, so as to keep people in bondage. That exceeding knowledge, my brothers and sisters, is what sets men free indeed. I say again, O Israel, why do you labor in vain and spend your strength for naught? Have you sought refuge after those who would prefer that you never be revived to your ancient strength? Why do you labor in vain? Have you sought refuge, my brothers and sisters, among those who designs were to destroy your homeland and scatter you, that you might revere the designs of men rather than Yah, to destroy your faith, even to think that all that you can rely upon is simply what appears before your eyes? Why do you spend your strength for naught? Do you believe that salvation, that you might find salvation according to the works of men, according to the designs of men, feeling that salvation can be attained when you have no good works at all, nothing that is true in service unto Yah? They said, they translated the scripture, salvation not of works, as any man should boast, in context. Well, I say, my brothers and sisters, shall man boast that he has salvation? That he has what is worthy to be preserved unto Yah? After the constraints, designs, desires, ideals of another? In servitude to another? Scripture says you sold yourselves. You lent yourself out to servants unto those whose... Let's just say you sold yourself out and gave yourself in service to them who could never offer you the righteous reward. Who themselves, my brothers and sisters, shall find destruction for having robbed Yah. Shall you trust in them, my brothers and sisters, who must be exposed and destroyed from being ever again recognized as worthy of anything else but humiliation? Shall you trust in them and expect the Most High to grant you his blessed reward? I think about scriptures like Isaiah 45:20. It talks about the Most High must prove foolish the wisdom of the wise, that all shall recognize and revere Yah himself. I'm talking about Isaiah 44:20 through 45:6. I'm talking about scriptures, my brothers and sisters, like those in Isaiah 48. Talking about his people sworn by his name, but not in truth nor in righteousness. Walking after the nations, walking after the confusion of the nations. Hey, seeking not to see the greater glory and righteousness of Yah, refusing to be comforted in the knowledge that there's a need for greater wisdom to be revealed, and refusing to see comfort in the hope of that righteousness revealed. It says, my brothers and sisters, in Isaiah 40th chapter, the Messiah will come, and he will expose all the rulers that you might see his righteousness. That is one of the most, in fact, one of the most pivotal events in all of history. They'll expose this Babylon once and for all. Well, again, Isaiah 48 goes into and talks about the same thing. The Messiah will come to expose this Babylon, declare the way that you should go, what the Most High declared from the very beginning, saying there's no peace to the lawless, no peace to those who don't have this discipline. He says, if you die without the law, you perish without the law. He says, unless you believe, Messiah said, unless you believe that he is the one who teaches you the righteousness from above. He says, you die in your sins, still trusting after the fallen standards of men. Here, my brothers and sisters, it's time we really understand the nature of these things. He says, no peace to the lawless. He says, therefore, listen to me, O isles, and hearken to me, O you nations. The scripture says, O you nations, keep silence and let my people renew their strength. Reason being, because they didn't say that any other was teaching that standard. In fact, in Isaiah 41, it says, the Messiah comes, the Most High looked, and he saw no man that was truly preaching the gospel. He saw there was no intercessor, it says in Isaiah 59. So the Most High looked and saw none who understood how much they needed to seek Yah. Therefore, my people are being devoured like bread. They recognize not evildoers. The Most High will have to scatter the bones of hypocrites. It says, who out of Zion then will bring salvation, or will bring a word that it might be received by the hearts and men be found worthy of preservation, saying, that day Israel shall be blessed. Israel shall be glad. Talk about Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. Why don't they teach you those scriptures? Do they teach you that the designs of another were worthy of divine reward? Isaiah 50 says, you know, hey, again, in Isaiah 50, it talks about the idea about, shall men think that they are worthy under Yah for the decrees of another? He said, where's the bill of divorcement for your mother who you claim I put away? If you can't see where the Most High ever put away his covenant, and only by his spirit could he bring it to remembrance. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, you keep on reading these scriptures, it talks about Messiah being one whom the Most High teaches that he might strengthen the discretion of his people, restoring them to the remembrance of what is righteousness. And it even goes as far as to say who then, discerning that greater righteousness, discovers they have no light. He said, let them trust in him who is called by the name of the Most High and be saved by his Yah, his Elohim, the one who exalts and raises his conscience, if you will. The one that comes forth saying, listen to me, O Isles, hearken to me, O you nation, the Most High has called me from the womb. And from the body of my mother, they made mention of my name to bring Israel back to him. Made my mouth like a sharp sword, and the shadow of his hand has hidden me. Yes, to bring Israel back to him, and to be his salvation to the ends of the earth. Well, Isaiah 50, 10 through 11, even goes as far as to say that if men walk after what they call wise, what they call wisdom, what they call light, refusing the greater word he would bring, he says the Messiah himself will say, this you will have in my hands. You will lie down in sorrow. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has a plan. And according to that plan, if you really understand it, it means Messiah will come one day with an exceeding message. And all who will not reason according to that message will be cut off from the inheritance of the people. Most High will send Messiah with a message. Whoever will not hearken to that message, the scripture says, will not receive the seal of the living Yah, will not receive the seal by which they might be preserved in the midst of much tumult and plagues that will rack the foundation of the whole earth. He says, my brothers and sisters, when that day comes, it's only those who have the seal, the name of the Father written upon their brows, because they seek to follow the Lamb wherever he leads. It says, only they who shall be preserved. Shall man think to be approved, receiving the seal of approval according to the designs of another? Men and every man of oppression imaginable, brothers and sisters, have been blind and robbed to define freedom after the miscreant constructs and conscience, the fallen vision of false reason of their various political, social, and national and pseudo-religious rulers. My brothers and sisters, how many have asked the Most High what he calls freedom, what he calls liberty, what he calls true to his righteousness? Say, come to me in Isaiah. I think about the scripture in Isaiah 55. It says, Messiah says, to say, come to me and you will eat what is good, what satisfies your bones. Say, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? I ask the question, is it by faith, even a call from the Most High, that so many have taken so much of their energy, so much of their strength, so much of their resources, so much of their deliberation, and given them to institutions who being terminal themselves, which must fall that the rights of the one be revealed? My brothers and sisters, shall men really believe? I say again, shall men really believe that institutions like this, after so much fallen perception, never preparing people to believe they need anything more? Hey, Isaiah 42, as the scripture says, who is blind but him that thinks he is perfect? Wow. Shall men, my brothers and sisters, give so much of their energies to all these institutions, taking refuge among those who will never tell you the whole truth, never tell you all that you should have known, and expect in giving themselves over to such competitive folly as this, that the Most High is pleased and impressed? I saw a pastor's conference over the last couple of days, And it was quite obvious. It wasn't about saving souls. It was about everyone sitting back and talking about how great their ministry has become, how much they've come to gain power, if you will, over the people to exploit them. To show off the end results of their labors in exploiting the people, because, hey, the people there weren't about the exceeding truth. I can tell you there's I can't even count the number of things that are written on my website, hiddengospel.com, that, quite frankly, I can think of so many things the Most High has told me that I haven't heard a pastor willing to explain at that level. And I'm not being a bracket when I say that, or prideful when I say that. I haven't heard a single pastor, my brothers and sisters, one day really converse about these things to a depth and a level that would bring most people to realize just how treacherously fallen short this world is. And so many of my brothers and sisters refuse to talk about these things simply because they don't want the people to understand how much they have not been taught. And my brothers and sisters, the scriptures say you must discern what the acceptable will of Yah is. They didn't teach people about things like the secret city prophecies. They have not taught about things like the fact the Messiah will come to declare an exceeding word that will put to shame every other. How about my brothers and sisters, pastor, priest, rabbi, church, denomination, institution, sovereignty of whatever nation, social and cultural construct, the world over, that unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. He will reprove all these institutions, my brothers and sisters, wherever it is they've fallen short, have not been unto the remembrance of what the Most High declared from the beginning. That's what's written in Acts 3:18-23. When he comes as a prophet to speak what others would not, the scripture says whoever not hearken to him should be cut off from among the people. My brothers and sisters, these institutions don't even prepare you for this. So how precious an institution are the testimony who will begin to open your minds and hearts to see what is worthy so that you might not be caught so unexpectedly off guard. But I'm telling you right now, they haven't taught you how Messiah shall come. They haven't taught you what is his duty. They haven't taught you, my brothers and sisters, who he said he is, that you might even begin to seek all the prophecies to know that you must seek something greater. And if they haven't taught you any of this under that expectation, my brothers and sisters, who have they compelled you to revere? Who have they compelled you to worship? Did they teach you the faith at all? I say no. Because they left you so indiscriminate that you have been left in so many ways gullible. The misconceits of so many. My brothers and sisters, that kind of stability before Yah, that you can be so easily beguiled to walk after the indiscriminate, treacherously selfish and ambitious ideals of another. My brothers and sisters, the Most High wants the people strong enough in the knowledge of his will that no one could turn them aside. These are they that he will call precious, who, my brothers and sisters, when the Most High calls you to discern his will to be a light and a strength to the nations. Who, my brothers and sisters, will seek the kind of discretion that they can be called pillars, something strong upon which a holy temple and an eternal temple can be built, and who, my brothers and sisters, will consider that firmity unnecessary. Like I told you, my brothers and sisters, one of the words for salvation also relates to the concept of being worthy to be preserved. Is a thing worthy to be preserved that will only be a detriment to the whole, that will not seek all the Most High has forsworn must be remembered, that a people considerate of all things might reason together as one? When he says, come, let us reason together, my brothers and sisters, he is not talking about everybody taking counsel together among themselves, but seeking him, reasoning after his conscience, opening their minds and hearts to be taught to perceive things after his mind, his vision, his expectation. Or dare my brothers and sisters, men believe that though Messiah comes, according to Isaiah 11, not judging after what his eyes see or what his ears hear, but hearing from the Most High. In other words, he will judge. But his discernment, my brothers and sisters, of what survives and what will not when he slays the wicked, the scripture says, won't be determined after the misexamples established by men, but will be determined, my brothers and sisters, according to the justice the Most High reveals himself. Most High reveals, my brothers and sisters, the thoughts and intents of his heart, that his people might discern the thoughts and intents of men. To know the difference, my brothers and sisters, between the false prophet and the true. To know, my brothers and sisters, to turn toward Yah for righteousness. Because how can a multitude of contentions, my brothers and sisters, the institutions that have been so destructive, caused so much warfare, how can they, my brothers and sisters, be the healing? If men haven't taught the truth, then your faith must come by hearing a word from Yah. I remember a long time ago telling the Most High point blank in this prayer, Father, I don't know what I don't know. Don't know what I need to know. Don't know what's been stuck in my head that's been an obstacle against understanding. But Father, you know. And if you don't tell me, I won't know. Well, it's going to require that kind of humility, my brothers and sisters. Begin to understand and be kind of worthy, to be kind of worthy for Yah. There's a reason why he says, come to me, and you shall eat that which is good. You shall partake of pure doctrine. The reason why he says, listen to me, O ye out, and hearken to me, O ye nations, because there's no peace to the lawless, to those who lack his discipline. And there's a level of discipline, my brothers and sisters, he comes because the world has not had. Read Isaiah 59, read Psalm 14, read Psalm 53, read Isaiah 41, particularly 21 through 42, 4. Scripture says he will lead his people by a way that they have not known. That means there's a level and dimension of righteousness the world has not known, and Messiah must come to bring it. Most High said he looked and he saw no intercessor, meaning that there's a level of righteousness that people have not known and call themselves wise without it. Many are going to be shocked, my brothers and sisters, to find out just how much the world needs reproof in order to be made acceptable. Because as I said before, the word from the beginning that men have forgotten, that is the way of light and life. And only by the Spirit of the Most High is it possible to remember all these things. But how many have been compelled to discern that truth, my brothers and sisters, that exceeding truth, which only Yah by his Spirit can give, even the truth of the whole world seeks to reject. There's no peace, he said, no blessed reward then to the lawless. No reward, my brothers and sisters, no blessed reward to those who are double-minded. He talks about a reward to those who overcome the world, my brothers and sisters, not those who are sedated and succumbed after its differences. When all nations shall know this, then shall men weep in repentance, and many, even as many, shall rejoice, even while in distress, for suddenly realizing that under so many mercilessly selfish ambition rulers, they have been left a generation without instruction. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, men in that day were discern how long it's been the men have labored in vain and spent their strength for naught, for not knowing the way of righteousness and peace. This might sound like a shock to you, but the scripture says the Messiah himself will have to admit to having done so. Did you hear me? Tell me about Isaiah 49. And if the one who is to awaken to tell the whole world the way of life and peace has to awaken to this truth, and is sent because the world has been blinded, not knowing the acceptable will of Yah, and therefore seeking to establish their own righteousness as if it were acceptable, then how is it, my brothers and sisters, the men for so many generations have thought, after a multitude of differences, that they had an agreement and a covenant with the One Most High? For only in the pure knowledge of divine command may men at last please Yah, and to be counted worthy, again, counted worthy of his reward. Therefore, the scripture says, Messiah will come forth, saying, now the Most High has become my strength and my reward. And surely my justice, my righteousness from the Most High, and my reward is true to, with, if you will, my Yah. Shall man say that he receives the divine reward? Not true to the standard the Most High has revealed? Has the Most High sinned? Messiah said, I and my Father are one. A lot of folks got upset at that idea, not understanding the name of the Most High. And he said to them, is it not so written in your law? That he said, I said ye, get my point, should be godly, even command that they must be of him. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? That's what those scriptures really mean. Isaiah 82:6, I've said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But it said, you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Why? Because men turned away from Yah. And what he said, I've said, means I have commanded and even appointed you that you must be true unto him, that you all be the children of the Most High. Meaning the Most High did not command that his people be likened after the will of another. And he said, therefore, if he whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, he was really saying if he comes and is sent forth to do the good works and to reveal the good works of Yah, he said, why do you say that he blasphemes? Because he says he is son of Yah. I want you to understand the concept, my brothers and sisters. Yah with Yah is Yah. That which is true to the will of Yah is counted of him, true to his name, worthy of his name, worthy to be called, likened unto him. One disciplined, one taught, one sanctified according to his purpose. It gives glory to Yah and his standard and does not, my brothers and sisters, compromise to misrepresent after the will of another. That is what's called stability, my brothers and sisters. That's what's called consistency. That's what's called cooperation rather than competition. Think about it. The Shema, the greatest command of all, the utmost and most important command of all, Messiah said, is hear, O Israel, the Most High is one. How then have men called themselves Israel after so many differences and so many different rulers? Most High is one. It means you must seek all his pure and perfect will, loving all that is his pure and perfect will with all your mind, heart, soul, and might. And love also that your neighbor also understands that fullness. At the end of the day, when those commands are kept, where is competition among the people? My brothers and sisters, men create competitions in that so often they exalt before men partial standards. Hey, that folks want to call themselves leaders, be exalted by those who prefer ignorance, who prefer unrighteousness. My brothers and sisters, that is so very treacherously wrong. Messiah said, go forth and teach all nations everything that he commands, that all might be reverent of him. That would be peace. That would be humility. There's a reason why the scripture says, the Spirit of Yah is upon me to preach good tidings to the meek. Those who seek to subdivide the word, misrepresent, declare what they call duplications that are not true to the original. My brothers and sisters, they work to deceive the masses. They seek to rob Yah. How about like some of you talking about stealing identity? Yeah. My brothers and sisters, you steal someone's identity, do you really have right to that which belongs to him whose identity you sought to misrepresent, to steal? And in so many ways, my brothers and sisters, even to invalidate. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. Shall man be counted worthy of divine reward according to the misrepresentations of another? I told you that the time that is to come, restitution, restoration, remembrance of all things according to all that is spoken by the prophets since the world began, is the most pivotal event in all of history. Nothing is worthy unto Yah that will not speak of these things. Scripture says only those who declare these things will be called his witnesses. Be counted viable, my brothers and sisters, in this world unto him. Well, the scripture says Messiah will come declaring a level of testimony that none of the rulers would preach. And if they would not preach it, according to the scriptures in Acts 3:18 through 23, they should be cut off from among the people because they did not hearken to the prophet's testimony that did consider all things. O Israel, why have you spent your strength for naught, labored in vain, giving yourself over to so many of my brothers and sisters who can never bring you genuine, true fullness of instruction unto salvation? Have you sought righteousness, my brothers and sisters, after the unrighteousness of another? Have you sought to be made whole after the partial constraints of another? That you faithfully believe that there's nothing the Most High comes to reveal beyond that which is taught by your rulers? What does the scripture say Messiah will come forth saying in Isaiah 40? Have you not heard? Have you not understood? There's no searching of all that is his understanding, meaning that you needed to continually seek. He told me until I see everything that he has declared, everything he has declared and all his implications brought to bear, he told me keep looking. But most of my brothers and sisters haven't even looked to find out what is promised, to understand fully what is expected, because they believed the misinterpretation of that scripture, as if to say their salvation, their preservation, is not related to anything that they do. But the scripture says, Messiah says he will reward each man as his work shall be. He said, I've not found your works perfect before my Yah. I need to read the second and third chapter of Revelation. He said, go back and do the first works. He said, I've not found your works perfect before the Most High. He says, go back and do the first works, and ultimately, unless he comes against you with the sword of his mouth. In other words, he discerned you unworthy. Shall men teach after their imaginations, creating their idolatrous institutions, and say that they are all worthy unto the Most High? Shall men serve and sell themselves out to serve what simply might, though it might receive praise from men, was never the praise of Yah, and expect the reward? In other words, what I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, the very name of the Most High says that he has all that he has. Everything that he expects of mankind, my brothers and sisters, has contained after the constraints of his word, his mind, and his thoughts. Well, if you know what's said and don't know why it's said, my brothers and sisters, it's impossible for you to fully serve him. What I'm saying to you is that the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 4:5, the Apostle Shaul said, I know nothing which I'm guilty, but I might not be right in this. My judge is the Most High. He said, therefore, let no man consider himself so wise for the time, or let you say his works so acceptable to the Most High for the time. When Messiah comes to reveal the hidden things, or the things that men have not considered, and then shall every man know how to praise Yah. Shall man's works be incomplete, imperfect, and expect to be preserved? Say, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall pass away. My brothers and sisters, Scripture never said that which is imperfect is a viable offering, a worthy offering to the Most High. He says, I beseech you by the mercies of Yah. Well, guess what? The mercy of Yah is that he does not leave you without understanding. The gift of Yah, the grace of Yah, is that he does not leave his people without understanding to be exploited, to fall victim, to serve the wiles of a devil, a deviant, leaving you partial and perverse in your understanding. He said, I beseech you by the mercies of Yah. Yes, my brothers and sisters, as you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yah, by the renewing of your mind. My brothers and sisters, the mind is renewed only after that which the Most High declared from the beginning. He said the Messiah is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, meaning that that standard is an eternal one, from the beginning till eternity, and nothing outside that standard is viable. If they didn't teach you about the secret city prophecies, my brothers and sisters, they never taught you the gospel. If they didn't teach you about who Messiah said he is, when he says the wooden offspring of David, the bright morning star, the testimony that must be testified in all the churches, that's what that scripture really means, then you've never been in the church. You never called out from the world because you didn't know who the one called the bright morning star is. You didn't know what he mandates of mankind to be acceptable, that men be acceptable before him, that you might prepare for the coming of the Son of Man. You never understood, my brothers and sisters, anything beyond what has supported the various pulpits and thrones of the kings and the pastors. And if you never knew that, my brothers and sisters, you never knew faith beyond the cages they constructed for you. If you never knew the promises, my brothers and sisters, the Most High, the promises of the Most High by which he said he would reward his people, bless his people, make his people one, make his people because of their efficiency and their lack of competition, of people that can indeed love, trust, and cooperate. Most I see men ceasing to waste so much goodness. A man, my brothers and sisters, is not willing to see that fruition brought to bear. And men desires to be so wasteful and disrespectful of the blessings of the eye. And my brother and sister, who is the man of praise? I once saw something that kind of stunned me many years ago now. Most High showed me wisdom in the form of vast flowing waters. Waters so clear. So clear, crystal clear, my brothers and sisters, that in its flow, you could barely even see the surface of it. You look straight through it and see from its surface to the fullness of its depths.
90 seconds.
But like I said, my brothers and sisters, so crystal clear, you could hardly see the surface of it. And regretfully, my brothers and sisters, the flow of water was flowing straight into the, I'll put it this way to you, the municipal sewer system. And the first thing that came to my mind was this. Somebody needs to try to capture this water.
60 seconds.
But my brothers and sisters, I could tell you there were few who recognized just how precious something that pure truly is. My brothers and sisters, have we been so twisted in our understanding that that which is corrupt is found of value? And that which is partial, because it appeases men, is found of value? But that which is pure and perfect under the praise of Yah is counted as something far from even worthy to survive. Have the rulers so taught corruption that they would never want people to see what is worthy, that their
10 seconds
treachery and hypocrisy be counted of worth? Till we speak again, my brothers and sisters, it's been Adam Yahav Covenant Remembrance Ministries. To his might, honor, and praise always. Thank you all for listening, and hallelujah!
You got the